Good morning, Lansing. It's Saturday, it's 9 a.m., and the pet experts are in the building. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. Now, here are your hosts, Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen.
Welcome, pet keepers, to this week's Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. I'm your host, Lee Cohen, here with my co-host, the pet expert himself, Mr. Rick Preuss. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, how's Lee Cohen doing?
Lee Cohen is doing really well, Rick. I've got to tell you, I have such an interest in this week's show, and maybe it's because of my own lousy poor health that I've had over the years, but I'm so interested. As you know, Rick, I've had some issues with my heart, and I have seen a cardiologist for many years, but I have never talked with a cardiologist who specializes in vet care. And we've got one of those today, and I'm really excited to have that conversation.
Yeah, that does bring up a curious question, because as humans, we are certainly exposed to heart disease problems as we see it. What's the probability and what's the possibility of that happening? Well, in any of nature's animals, but today we get to learn what's the possibility and what's the similarity or the differences between that goes on in the dog world or the cat world. And, I think that one thing I can tell by, and we've discussed on show after show after show, it would make sense that it's going to be different, because we don't put our animals maybe through the same both stress and dietary torture, if you will, or lack of exercise, hopefully. But people do have dogs that are couch potatoes, but right. But it might be a little different in the dog and cat world than it is in the human world.
Well, there's no doubt about that. But at the same time, I would dare say to you that there are just certain procedures that I've got to say, as I've seen what they're doing for the dogs, I'm like, wait a minute, that's the same darn thing that I'm taking for what it is that I've got going on. And I've got to say, when I'm tempted to take my dog's medications, that's kind of a problem there, Rick. It's got me wondering, how similar have we gotten? One of the other things that I will say is that we've done such a good job of caring for our animal these days. They live a lot longer. And so we're starting to see a lot of these problems occurring in older age, just sure. like we do with human beings. And that's not a bad thing. It's just a condition of living longer.
Yeah, the heart is that vital organ. It holds us all together, and doesn't matter what the animal is, if it's got a heart that beats, which almost all do, it inevitably, since almost nothing lives forever, inevitably there's going to be signs of weaknesses. And if I remember correctly, listening yesterday to a representative that was offering information in regards to dog food. Mm-hmm. One thing that she had brought up, which is very interesting, is that dogs, by percentage, have elderly years, if you will, longer than humans do, by percentage.
Right.
I didn't pay attention to – I was walking through as all my employees were being educated, but another – point of conversation at a later date, maybe.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about with it, but to talk today, we've got Dr. Lori Nelms, who is the veterinarian at the Greater Lansing Veterinary Center, which is the new emergency care center out in Williamston, and we've got Dr. Christian Weider, who is with Mid-Michigan Vet Cardiology, located right next door to the Dr. Nelms location, so should be a great conversation this week on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show.
If you're out of the listening area, you can hear the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show live online. Go to 1320WILS.com and click on the Listen Live link.
If you can't find what your pet needs on planet Earth, have you considered finding a new planet? Of all nearby curios, there is one world where pets reign supreme. A planet where bright blue aquariums stretch as far as the eye can see. Where fresh and saltwater fish of all colors dance before happy customers. A planet where tarantulas and toads dart just out of sight, peeking up from the undergrowth at smiling visitors. A planet where birds from half a world away sing day and night, calling out to curious shoppers. A planet where turtles plod along during daily treks to the watering hole. A planet with pet supplies aplenty, enough to care for any kind of pet in any home, with friendly employees to help you find just what you need. A planet made exclusively for your pets. Welcome to Planet Bruce.
Don't just get a pet, get a Bruce pet.
Where do you go when you discover an unexpected treasure? Come to Liberty Coins in Frandor.
In March, a woman drove her elderly mother to the bank to deposit less than $100 of rolled coins into her account. When the teller opened the first roll of dimes, the top coin was silver. The daughter instantly knew at least some of the coins were worth more than face value. They left the bank to go to Liberty Coins. We paid her mother $1,500 for coins she had planned to deposit in her bank account.
What treasures do you have that Liberty can help you with? Pick up a free copy of our Cash in Your Treasures brochure in our store or view it online at libertycoinservice.com.
For 50 years, Liberty Coins in Frandor has been the right place to go.
I'm Tom Coulson reminding you to put cash in your pocket today.
We're Liberty Coins. We're right on the money.
Meet the two men who are experts at talking to animals, or something like that. The Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us on the line a returning guest. It's Dr. Lori Nelms, who is the owner of the Greater Lansing Veterinary Center in Williamston. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Nelms.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for having me again.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I'm sorry to bring you back so quickly. You were just on with us not all that long ago, but the truth is that the more we asked you questions, the more questions popped up into our heads after the interview.
Yes, no apologies needed. We're happy to do it. Yeah.
Well, it just occurred that let's get those questions out there. And the first thing that I want to help people to understand is, again, can you explain what role you play in terms of the process of veterinary care for the different animals?
So our facility itself, I mean, my part is the emergency clinic. So obviously emergency is always necessary. Just like in human medicine, there's going to be things come up when your regular vet isn't open or your regular vet just isn't equipped to deal with. I mean, you know, they have appointments set up, so maybe they don't have the staffing or even the time to deal with something critical and devote all of their attention to that. So that's where we kind of play in, is when something's really sick and needing more attention, or the capabilities of being able to provide oxygen support or 24-hour care to your pets, or just something that pops up in the middle of the night or after hours or when your vet is fully booked for the day. That's where we come in. We have other branches within our facility as well. But as far as my clinic, mine is the emergency facility, and then we have a couple of other specialists in our building as well.
Well,
that the regular vets can refer to as well if need be.
What are those?
So we have the emergency center, obviously, and then we have an ultrasound group by Dr. Ari Jekowitz and Dr. Laura Weber, the Animal Ultrasound Services. And then we also have Mid-Michigan Veterinary Cardiology with Dr. Christian Weider.
Now, when it comes to the specialists, when is it that people would need the specialists? I mean, what kind of diagnosis would they need to hear that would require them to say, okay, the next step is to go to a specialist? And what other areas are there of specialists that are even out there?
So for our specialists, so they are available both for us as an emergency service. I mean, they are an essential part of emergency, as say if we have something that comes in for Dr. Weider, for instance, if we have something that comes in a congestive heart failure, then he is a great resource to be able to tell this client, you know, here's what the underlying diagnosis is, because there's many diseases that can actually cause congestive heart failure. He can help us rule out other causes that can cause, with congestive heart failure, typical presentation is that they get fluid accumulation in their lungs. And so he's here for us to be able to say, yes, it's definitively congestive heart failure, or maybe it's something else going on. So he can also provide a prognosis of how much of the heart function is actually remaining to help an owner maybe make some of those tough decisions of whether they should go ahead and hospitalize, or maybe, unfortunately, they should make a decision that they need to consider end-of-life care for that pet. There's other cases in the hospital where, you know, maybe there's a complicated case, or we might see an abdominal mass on x-rays or free fluid that we want to know where that fluid's accumulating from, that we reach out to the ultrasound group so that they can better determine, you know, where's that mass originating from, or is there pancreatitis or inflammation of the pancreas involved, and how severe is that pancreatitis? So both of those are, you know, essential to our emergency practice, as well as something for the general practitioner to reach out to as well. So maybe they have those cases come in and they want to send them in through the emergency service, or even see what their availability is to send them directly into those services. Or did they just pick up a heart murmur in an older dog and they want to kind of see where that heart murmur is originating from and how it's affecting the heart, and do they need to get on medications for that heart disease? Or do they have, there are some breeds that have arrhythmias. Do they need Dr. Weider to put what's called a Holter monitor on that animal to kind of be able to see where those arrhythmias are originating from and kind of come up with a medication plan for that animal? So there's definitely a big need both for emergency as well as the general practitioner for these specialists.
Am I assuming that your clientele coming in for the emergency department is coming both from veterinarian references, but also maybe people that are home having an emergency to deal with, and then therefore calling you up? And then on the other services, are there going to be much more specific veterinary recommended referrals?
Correct. Yeah. So for me, you know, a coughing dog may come in that may be just something benign that they picked up at a boarding facility, or it may be something more severe, like I said, like the congestive heart failure. So we kind of determine, you know, does that dog need an actual referral, or do they just need to be hospitalized, or do they just need to be sent home on some cough suppressants or antibiotics? Mm-hmm. So we kind of, and then we determine if they need to go to those individual specialists.
So you kind of work as a general practitioner for that particular client at that particular moment, and then can decide where do we go from here, right?
Right, yeah. So we just work off of emergency. So when they come into us, we kind of establish if they need to stay on the emergency service or do they need some more in-depth diagnostics done with those two specialists.
And when a veterinarian would have a dog come in, a client bring in a dog or cat with certain circumstances that are outside their particular field, would they send you to the would they send the animal to your facility specifically at your desk, or would they be directly connecting with, let's say, the ultrasound or the cardiology department?
It just depends. It's case dependent. So if a regular vet happens to just pick up an incidental heart murmur and they want to know how this dog's going to do for anesthesia for a dental procedure, they would just refer directly over to Dr. Weider in the cardiology service. Or if a regular vet just picked up some elevated liver values on some blood work and they wanted to kind of get more of a better look at the liver and things, they would just reach out directly to the ultrasound group. Now, if they felt like this animal was critical and needed to be hospitalized and needed emergent attention, or that animal is in congestive heart failure, then they would send it in through the emergency department through my hospital or my emergency room, and then we would kind of reach out to those two groups when necessary to come maybe do some more detailed diagnostics to give us a better look at prognosis and the overall picture and overall underlying diagnosis.
Is there any specific disciplines beyond those two that would be typical for you when the dog or cat comes in that you would send them to beyond your walls?
Absolutely. So, you know, obviously our big long-term goal is to actually be to have more specialists in this facility. But right now, if they do need, say, even a criticalist, which we don't necessarily have here, we would refer to Michigan State for their critical care department. Or if they needed a surgery that we couldn't do here, or say Dr. Weir picks up a congenital abnormality in the heart that needs a surgeon, a board certified surgeon, then we would send to a surgeon at one of the specialty hospitals that had a boarded surgeon. Or if they needed an internal medicine specialist, say they have some type of endocrine disease that they pick up on ultrasound that needs some more in-depth diagnostics and long-term recommendations, we would send them to another facility for an internal medicine workup.
So I'm wondering, as a matter of probability, now that you've been in business, but not for very long, if somebody's going to a local veterinarian as a regular practice, what's the probability if an emergency situation occurs that they would know to reach out to you and be likely to kind of extend themselves to your services? Are you very deep within the marketplace at this point? Is it just everybody waiting for somebody to do the services that you have? Or is there going to be an uphill battle letting the veterinary community know that you're out there?
We did pretty good with reaching out to our immediate veterinarians in the area. So they all kind of know that we're out here. We're getting more than enough business right now. There's a long wait at all the emergency clinics in the area, as well as all the specialists in the area. So people definitely know that we're out here. And so I think just letting them know kind of what we're about and kind of what emergencies should come in and what's available even on the specialty level at our hospital is always good. But yeah, people have been great about already sending us cases, and the public seems to know that we're here as well.
Well, I'm glad to say that I have seen a couple of veterinarians that have listed you as the place to go to when they don't have vets in the building at their location or they are closed. So that's good work on your part to get the information out. When it comes to the specialist, though, it seems like in human medicine, now we're at the point where there are specialties in just about every area that you can possibly imagine. Is that where we're heading with veterinary care? And if so, if you had to pick an area or two where you would want to add specialists, what would they be? What would you want to get first in order to make your operation even more useful and effective for a variety of pet owners?
Yeah, so there is practically every specialist that you can think of. I mean, not down to the particular, the very, you know, fine-tuned specialist, but there are specialists in every group in veterinary medicine. So we send everything out, including, you know, diagnostic imaging, such as ultrasound group or cardiology with MidMichigan Veterinary Cardiology. But we also have specialists in surgery, obviously, internal medicine, ophthalmology for eyes, oncology for cancer, neurology for things going on in the brain or in the spinal cord. So those are kind of the big specialists that we have, dermatology for skin issues. So, yeah, we have just as many specialists as they do in human medicine. As far as our facility being linked to an emergency clinic, the only plans I have is to add on surgery and internal medicine.
Now, when it comes to one area that I'm thinking of, a lot of people seem to have issues with allergies with their pet. Is there an allergy specialty that exists? Because I can't tell you how many times people have just had the hardest time tracking down and solving that problem.
So it just depends. So in animals, they can have a couple of different allergies presenting. So they can have presentation with dermatological allergies, so itching, chronic skin infections. So those would typically see a dermatologist, just like in people that have breakouts and things. You know, we also have allergies that present as like vomiting and diarrhea. So those would usually reach out to more of an internal medicine type specialist. So animals have a little bit different on how they present with allergies, but you know, itchy skin and things, they would go to a dermatologist, and then more gastrointestinal sort, they would go to an internal medicine specialist.
Well, it sounds like you've got yourself quite a challenge in terms of all the areas where it's possible to have needs, but it's so nice to have you out there because, again, as you said, you're keeping pretty busy, and I can only imagine as the days get longer, the opportunities are going to get greater and greater for animals to get themselves into trouble and need the veterinarian. So, Dr. Nelms, if you can share with our audience where you're located and how people can get in touch with you.
We're located in Williamston, right off of Grand River. So currently we're a little bit hard to find because we're kind of set off the road. So we are at 1290 West Grand River, but we're just down from the fire department. So if you're coming from Williamston, downtown Williamston, and you've made it to the fire department, you've gone too far, and we're just before you get to downtown. So we're kind of in between the fire department and downtown.
Okay. And is there a web address?
Yes, our website is www.glvetcenter.com.
Okay. Well, Dr. Nelms, we want to thank you so much for coming back on the show, and we wish you continued good luck in getting things rolling with your business because it is just such an important need area for so many people, and I'm sure that when they need you, they will really need you. So thank you very much for what you do.
All right. Thanks, Rick and Lee. And you guys have a good rest of your week and weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You too. And Rick will be right back here on 1320 WILS.
Like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/mmpets. Upload your pet's picture or check out the silly pet photos that we put up there to get you through your day.
Brass monkey.
Sally Babbitt wants to help you plan for your pets.
So it's very important that as a pet owner, we take care of two things. Come up with a succession plan for who's going to take those pets, and also come up with a way to fund that.
Sally Babbitt will work with you to make sure your pets find a loving home in the event of your death or incapacity.
Because we all know, for example, I have a beautiful Great Dane, and she's wonderful. But she also has some special health problems. So I understand that to have someone take her in is fine, but that's also a financial burden on them. And so I would need to think about setting aside maybe some money money to take care of that animal? And going further, how far do we go with our pet's care when we're gone?
Plan for your pet's future with Babbitt Legal.
I am on West St. Joe Highway, 6005 West St. Joe. I am just conveniently located a quarter mile from the Big B. 517-507-3306.
Is it time to get your dog spruced up for spring? Give us a call at 333-WOOF to schedule your dog's day of pampering at Doggy Daycare and Spa. All of our grooming services include customized shampoo and conditioning treatments, individual attention, and we never, ever use cage dryers. Our spa specialists only use patient practices, making your dog's grooming experience a positive one. We offer convenient appointment times at both of our locations in Lansing and Okemos. Call us at 333-WOOF, that's 333-9663, to schedule your dog's visit to the spa today. Doggy Daycare and Spa, where the hip hounds hang out.
It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. Here are your hosts, Rick Preuss, a man possessing unparalleled animal care expertise, and Lee Cohen, who's also here.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us on the line a first-time guest. It is Dr. Christian Weider, who we just spoke about in the last section, who is with Mid-Michigan Vet Cardiology. And welcome to the show, Dr. Weider.
Thank you both for having me. This is a really unique and exciting opportunity for me, so I'm glad to be speaking with you both today.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. I admit to you, I have a special interest in this particular topic because I'm proud to say in the, almost 12 years that Rick and I have been on the air, I haven't missed too many shows, but I remember at the beginning I missed a couple of shows because I had a heart attack and ended up having to have a couple of stents put into my chest. So I'm pretty aware of problems with cardiology. My first question for you is that something that you do with animals? If they've got a problem, are we putting stents in? Have we reached that point in medical care? Or are there other things that you do?
Yeah, it's interesting. We see some similarities with human medicine and human cardiology, but certainly a lot of differences as well. And one of the major differences is that in dogs and cats, we do not see a high prevalence of coronary arterial disease, which is the most common, or at least one of the most common forms of heart disease in people, that generally causes what we classically think of as heart attacks and requiring stents and those sorts of measures. So, in that sense, veterinary cardiology is certainly different in terms of the disease processes that we see. And then that in turn dictates, different interventional, techniques that we use. Now, stents in particular, those are used in veterinary medicine, but for, much different disease processes, and not as you classically think of their use in human medicine for coronary arterial disease.
I'm wondering, on another note, I personally have had the journey where I've had some heart arrhythmia type problems, and so I had to wear a monitor that would pick up the problem, and I thought I was generally fine, but a few little flutters it seemed like. But then when the report came back, it's like, yeah, you got a tachycardia issue that you need to at least be aware of. And I'm just curious, is that maybe more a potential in the dog or cat arena? And would they be running around with the same kind of instrument that I was running around where it's clocking every tick?
Yep, absolutely. So we see arrhythmias relatively commonly in dogs and cats. And just for the listeners, an arrhythmia is a broad term for an abnormal heart rate and or rhythm. So we see various forms of arrhythmias, both bradycardias, which is a low heart rate, or tachycardias, which is a high heart rate, which you're referring to.
Yeah.
And we absolutely do surface ECG monitoring in the office, kind of what you classically think of as an ECG
when you go to the doctor with the clips and the leads. But then we definitely also have the capability of doing more extended ECG monitoring at home via a test called a Holter monitor. And a Holter monitor is, as you alluded to, a small ECG device that you wear for an extended period of time. Most of the time in dogs, we do 48-hour monitoring. So the dog will wear the device at home. And it looks almost like a small thunder shirt around the dog's chest. And the benefit for us is that we get to not only evaluate the dog's rhythm over a very long period of time, but also in the normal environment. So unfortunately, when dogs and cats are in our office, we can't tell them to, you know, take a seat and take a couple deep breaths and calm down. We often unfortunately see them in one of the more stressful environments for them. And stress and anxiety can definitely play a role in exacerbation of arrhythmias. So the Holter monitor allows us to evaluate them in their more natural environment with their owners. We absolutely do Holter monitoring at our office. I would say we do probably one every week or two. So we do them pretty commonly. Now, there's also the capability of doing more extended event monitoring, and that's via various, like, implantable devices, that sort of thing, that actually go under the skin of the dog and then can record at various time points, even up to a year or so after implantation.
Now, what about, like, I remember taking stress tests, and I can't imagine, other than the Jetsons, where I've seen Astro on the machine, how do you do something like that, or don't you do something like that?
We don't do a lot of stress testing in dogs. Sometimes when we are looking for certain congenital defects that, say, the dog was born with, sometimes we will do the most basic form of a stress test, which is actually just running the dog outside a little bit and exercising them and then listening to their hearts to see if we see any abnormalities. So that is the most basic form of a stress test that you can do, is a little bit of exertion and then listening to the animal. When I was a resident, worked more with large animals, and we did do some stress testing in horses. Saw a fair number of race horses, higher end race horses, that sometimes horses will have issues at higher end exertion. So those horses, generally, we would perform a stress test on a large treadmill. So they have equine treadmills at most academic institutions, Michigan State included, where you'll actually have the horse get onto the treadmill and get up to kind of its full exercise capacity. And then we do various testing like ECG, echocardiograms, those sorts of things. I don't do that in my practice now, but certainly I've done it in the past when I worked a little bit more with large animals.
Gotcha.
So one direction I wanted to go was, as the person sitting on the sofa with their dog on their lap, would you give some advice for those individuals that have their pet on how to kind of detect potential signs or issues or trouble things that maybe they're ignoring, but maybe they shouldn't be ignoring? Or what are the types of things that people are seeing in their pet that brings them to you as a matter of attention, or to a vet that then refers them to you?
Yeah, and I think the tough thing about cardiac disease in dogs and cats is that we often don't appreciate or see clinical signs of diseases until they are very advanced. And often dogs and cats are experiencing congestive heart failure. So it can be tough to appreciate clinical signs or changes in the animal prior to the onset of more advanced states of the disease. And that speaks to the importance of regular veterinary care. So often a trained veterinarian, a general practitioner, can pick up on things on physical exam to tip us off to the presence of heart disease. And that can be things like picking up a murmur or an arrhythmia, as we talked about, on physical exam. during annual or semi-annual visits that will point us or tip us off to the presence of heart disease, and then those cases are referred for to us for further workup. And depending on the nature of the case, diagnostics that we perform, we then absolutely consider medications and other interventions to help slow progression and kind of limit the progression of disease processes. So I would say that that is the most important thing, as with most things in veterinary medicine, preventative care and regular visits to the primary veterinarian to identify issues that their pet might be having to get on treatment protocols sooner rather than later. Now, with more advanced states of disease in dogs and cats, we absolutely will see clinical signs associated with heart disease. Many of those signs are related to the respiratory system, so things like rapid or unexplained labored breathing, particularly at rest. We can see exercise intolerance, shortness of breath with exertion, on the extreme end, episodes of collapse or fainting, and then sometimes general signs, particularly in cats, like lethargy, hiding, not as interactful with their owners, and poor appetite, those sorts of things.
Now, doctor, one question that I've got is how often should people deal with these things? Is this something that happens in 1 in 10 animals? Is it 1 in 2? I mean, what are the probabilities of coming across one of these issues that would require a specialist like you?
Certainly depends on the age and breed of the dog. So I'd like to break down heart disease in animals as kind of two broad categories. So the first is what is called congenital defects. Okay, so that is defects that animals are born with. Congenital means present at birth. And those are the puppies and kittens that we see that a murmur is appreciated at their routine vaccination appointments or other younger visits, where we're sort of tipped off to the presence that there may be a defect there. And I would say overall in the pet population, the prevalence of congenital defects is quite low. Talking about less than 5% of puppies and kittens born will have some sort of congenital cardiac defect. That's a very wide range of conditions. So certainly sometimes it's absolutely nothing we need to worry about. Other times we're considering surgeries to correct the defects and stuff like that. Now, the other broad category of heart disease that we see in animals is what's called acquired heart disease. So that just means adult onset diseases. And the vast majority of time we see that in dogs greater than 5 years of age. And they'll develop heart murmurs, arrhythmias in adulthood. Okay. And that, again, is a very wide group of conditions with a diverse sort of manifestation of disease processes. And that is somewhat common in the pet population. The most common form of disease that we see in dogs is issues with the mitral valve. So something called mitral regurgitation. And it's very, very similar to mitral valve prolapse in people, which is a change in the architecture of the mitral valve to cause a leak at that valve and then subsequently causes a murmur. It is very, very prevalent in our small and medium breed dogs as they age. And one study quoted that 85% of small breed dogs will have changes to their mitral valve by 13 years of age.
Dr. Weider,
that speaks to...
Dr. Weider, I'm sorry, I need to jump in. We need to take a quick break, but we'll come back and finish this up and also talk a little bit about blood pressure when it comes to dealing with that. We're talking with Dr. Christian Weider, who is a cardiologist, right here on 1320 WILS.
If you can't find what your pet needs on planet Earth, have you considered finding a new planet? Of all nearby curios, there is one word. world where pets reign supreme. A planet where bright blue aquariums stretch as far as the eye can see. Where fresh and saltwater fish of all colors dance before happy customers. A planet where tarantulas and toads dart just out of sight, peeking up from the undergrowth at smiling visitors. A planet where birds from half a world away sing day and night, calling out to curious shoppers. A planet where turtles plod along during daily treks to the watering hole. A planet with pet supplies aplenty, enough to care for any kind of pet in any home, with friendly employees to help you find just what you need. A planet made exclusively for your pets. Welcome to Planet Bruce.
Don't just get a pet, get a Bruce pet.
It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show with Rick Bruce and Lee Cohen.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and we've been talking this morning with Dr. Christian Weider, who is a cardiologist with Mid-Michigan Vet Cardiology, and they're located in Williamston. And Dr. Weider, you were talking about whether it was an adult onset or a precondition. Do you want to finish that up?
Yep, I was just speaking to the prevalence of mitral valve disease in small breed dogs, and just quoted that 85% of small breed dogs will actually have changes to their mitral valve by 13 years of age. So, again, just speaks to the prevalence of that condition in at least the small dog population. And then we definitely see other diseases, issues with the heart muscle called cardiomyopathy in large and giant breed dogs. And then a different form of cardiomyopathy in cats. So we see a pretty diverse set of diseases and defects within our clinic from a day-to-day basis.
So that brings to thought, not long ago, it was in the press in large way, and I'm sure the problem itself is still there and being dealt with, but for a bit we saw a lot of press on grain-free dog foods and some that might possibly be responsible for some heart-related issues. Could you? You would probably be the best one to ask. And I don't believe we had you on our radio show back then. So now is the time to ask. And could you give us your take on the whole grain-free versus non-grain-free and appropriate foods for your pet?
Yep. So as you're alluding to, about 2 years ago or so, there was issues raised, at least anecdotal links between dogs fed specific grain-free diets and the development of a certain form of heart disease called cardiomyopathy. There was certainly a lot of press when that originally came out. That I think recently there's been a bit of pushback on it, and as more studies are coming out, it does seem to be, at least in my experience, and I think most cardiologists would attest to this, that there is some link again between very certain diets, and those diets seem to be grain-free dog foods that are very high in legume content. So peas and chickpeas and those sorts of things, as well as lentils, and the development of this heart disease. And we see, not commonly, but we certainly do see cases of dogs that will develop cardiomyopathy on these diets that then improve, their condition improves over time with certain medical measures as well as changes in the diet. Now, I always like to point out to my owners that this phenomenon seems to be quite rare, okay? So it is by no means a process where a large percentage or every one of these dogs being fed these diets will develop the disease. And in fact, it seems to be quite uncommon. And there are a bunch of ongoing studies investigating this. But I like to, just for owners, kind of dispel myths around diets. And the primary myth is that grain-free diets by no way or means have been shown to be superior in dogs. So there is no evidence that feeding a grain-free diet is any more beneficial to a dog than feeding a grain-based diet. And in fact, the prevalence of grain-based allergies in dogs is very, very low. Most dogs with food allergies have allergies to the protein. So I think, unfortunately, marketing tends to outweigh some of the evidence sometimes, and grain-free diets certainly get touted as superior in many of the marketing campaigns, and that's just not the truth. So I tend to try to steer owners more towards grain-based diets and allow them to pick the brand and formula unless there's some strong need or some strong evidence that their dog does have a grain intolerance. Allergy, and then I typically refer them to a veterinary nutritionist or dermatologist for a little bit more thorough evaluation.
And I would suppose,
but I think, you know, in summary, I'll just say that the jury is certainly still out on that phenomenon. But I think most pet owners, even if there is a small chance that a diet could be detrimental to their dog, they would steer away from it. Is my general perception.
So if a client comes in, feels their dog is in good health in regards to what they're feeding it in its health, or let's say you're having a friendly conversation down at maybe Spagnolo's down the street or whatnot, dinner with some friends, and they mention that they have grain-free, would you not go out of your way to influence them in any way, or go out of your way to influence them to change the diet?
I think knowledge is generally power, so I like to make them aware of the issue, and that's generally what I try to do with my owners. And then I think owners should be free to make their own choices. The benefit that we have in our office is that we're obviously screening these dogs for heart disease. And if a dog, when we perform the echocardiogram, the ultrasound of their heart, does not have any evidence of cardiomyopathy, I do very much leave it to the owners as to after educating them as to what diet they'd like to be on, have their dog on long term. If there's is any evidence of cardiomyopathy, so poor muscle function on the echocardiogram, I do tend to pretty strongly recommend dietary change.
Now, doctor, we don't have much time, less than a minute, but I do want to ask you about blood pressure, because I admit to being surprised being in a veterinarian's office and seeing that they were dispensing the same medication that I take for blood pressure. Is that fairly common?
It is, yeah. We measure blood pressure in dogs and cats. I always joke that it is an inexact science for sure. So as we talked about before, the office can be somewhat stressful for a dog and more so a cat. So blood pressure measurement is an inexact science, and we give dogs and cats quite a bit of leeway to truly deem them hypertensive. But if we do, we absolutely consider and prescribe medications that are very commonly used in people. So amlodipine as well as ACE inhibitors are the
All
most
right.
common drugs that are used. Norvasc is probably the brand name that most people recognize.
Doctor, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we're out of time. But thank you so much for coming on the show. We've been talking with Dr. Christian Weider. And unfortunately, Rick, we have to call it with today's show. But we will be back next weekend. We wish all of you a great weekend and a great weekend. Take care of your pets, and we'll talk next weekend. Have a great week, everybody.
Hey, got some ideas for a show? Questions? Maybe suggestions? Just email us, mmpets@1320.wils.com, or message us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/mmpets.
Yeah, this is a story of famous dog. But the dog is-